Today is the 11th day of November. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I'm Brian. It is fantastic to be here with you today. How are you? It's good to see you. It's good to be here around the global campfire together. It's good that we have this place that we can meet up. A safe place, an oasis, a good place. A place where we just let the scriptures speak for themselves and see what it brings up in us and allow God into all these places. Places that need to be encouraged. Places that need to be challenged. Places that need to be reformed. Places that need to be torn down. Places that need to be built up. It is good to be here on this journey of transformation together as we continue our journey through the scriptures. So it has only ever been the custom to pick up right where we left off. We end a step and then we take the next step. And that next step forward today leads us back into the book of Ezekiel. And today we will read Ezekiel chapter 23. The word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, there were two women, the daughters of one mother. They played the whore in Egypt. They played the whore in their youth. There their breasts were pressed and their virgin bosoms handled. Aholah was the name of the elder, and Aholibah the name of her sister. They became mine, and they bore sons and daughters. As for their names, Aholah is Samaria, and Aholibah is Jerusalem. Aholah played the whore while she was mine, and she lusted after her lovers, the Assyrians, warriors clothed in purple, governors and commanders, all of them desirable young men, horsemen riding on horses. She bestowed her whoring upon them, the choicest men of Assyria, all of them, and she defiled herself with all the idols of everyone after whom she lusted. She did not give up her whoring that she had begun in Egypt. For in her youth men had lain with her and handled her virgin bosom and poured out their whoring lust upon her. Therefore I delivered her into the hands of her lovers, into the hands of the Assyrians, after whom she lusted. These uncovered her nakedness. They seized her sons and her daughters. And as for her, they killed her with the sword. And she became a byword among women when judgment had been executed on her. Her sister Aholibah saw this, and she became more corrupt than her sister in her lust and in her whoring, which was worse than that of her sister. She lusted after the Assyrians, governors and commanders, warriors clothed in full armor, horsemen riding on horses, all of them desirable young men. And I saw that she was defiled. They both took the same way, but she carried her whoring further. She saw men portrayed on the wall, the images of the Chaldeans portrayed in vermilion, wearing belts on their waists, with flowing turbans on their heads, all of them having the appearance of officers, a likeness of Babylonians whose native land was Chaldea. When she saw them, she lusted after them and sent messengers to them in Chaldea. And the Babylonians came to her in the bed of love, and they defiled her with whoring lust. And after she was defiled by them, she turned from them in disgust. When she carried on her whoring so openly and flaunted her nakedness, I turned in disgust from her, as I had turned in disgust from her sister. Yet she increased her whoring, remembering the days of her youth when she played the whore in the land of Egypt and lusted after her lovers there, whose members were like those of donkeys and whose issue was like that of horses. Thus you longed for the lewdness of your youth, when the Egyptians handled your bosom and pressed your young breasts. Therefore, O Aholibah, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will stir up against you your lovers, from whom you turned in disgust, and I will bring them against you from every side. The Babylonians and all the Chaldeans, Pekod and Shoah and Koah, and all the Assyrians with them, desirable young men, governors and commanders, all of them, officers and men of renown, all of them riding on horses. And they shall come against you from the north with chariots and wagons and a host of peoples. They shall set themselves against you on every side with buckler, shield, and helmet. And I will commit the judgment to them, and they shall judge you according to their judgments. And I will direct my jealousy against you, that they may deal with you in fury. They shall cut off your nose and your ears, and your survivors shall fall by the sword. They shall seize your sons and your daughters, and your survivors shall be devoured by fire. They shall also strip you of your clothes and take away your beautiful jewels. Thus I will put an end to your lewdness and your whoring begun in the land of Egypt, so that you shall not lift up your eyes to them or remember Egypt any more. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I will deliver you into the hands of those whom you hate, into the hands of those from whom you turned in disgust. And they shall deal with you in hatred, and take away all the fruit of your labor, and leave you naked and bare, and the nakedness of your whoring shall be uncovered. Your lewdness and your whoring have brought this upon you, because you played the whore with the nations and defiled yourself with their idols. You have gone the way of your sister. Therefore I will give her cup into your hand. Thus says the Lord God, you shall drink your sister's cup that is deep and large. You shall be laughed at and held in derision, for it contains much. You will be filled with drunkenness and sorrow, a cup of horror and desolation, the cup of your sister Samaria. You shall drink it and drain it out, and gnaw its shards and tear your breasts. For I have spoken, declares the Lord God. Therefore thus says the Lord God, because you have forgotten me and cast me behind your back, you yourself must bear the consequences of your lewdness and whoring. The Lord said to me, son of man, will you judge Ahola and Aholibah? Declare to them their abominations, for they have committed adultery, and blood is on their hands. With their idols they have committed adultery, and they have even offered up to them for food the children whom they had borne to me. Moreover, this they have done to me. They have defiled my sanctuary on the same day and profaned my Sabbaths. For when they had slaughtered their children in sacrifice to their idols, on the same day they came into my sanctuary to profane it. And behold, this is what they did in my house. They even sent for men to come from afar, to whom a messenger was sent. And behold, they came. For them you bathed yourself, painted your eyes, and adorned yourself with ornaments. You sat on a stately couch, with a table spread before it on which you had placed my incense and my oil. The sound of a carefree multitude was with her, and with men of the common sort, drunkards were brought from the wilderness, and they put bracelets on the hands of the women and beautiful crowns on their heads. Then I said of her who was worn out by adultery, now they will continue to use her for a whore, even her, for they have gone into her as men go into a prostitute. Thus they went into Ohola and into Oholibah, lewd women. But righteous men shall pass judgment on them with the sentence of adulteresses. and with the sentence of women who shed blood because they are adulteresses, and blood is on their hands. For thus says the Lord God, bring up a vast host against them, and make them an object of terror and a plunder. And the host shall stone them and cut them down with their swords. They shall kill their sons and their daughters and burn up their houses. Thus will I put an end to lewdness in the land, that all women may take warning and not commit lewdness as you have done. And they shall return your lewdness upon you, and you shall bear the penalty for your sinful idolatry. And you shall know that I am the Lord God. Hebrews 10, 18 through 39. Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. For if we go on sinning deliberately after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a fearful expectation of judgment and a fury of fire that will consume the adversaries. Anyone who has set aside the law of Moses dies without mercy on the evidence of two or three witnesses. How much worse punishment do you think will be deserved by the one who has trampled underfoot the Son of God and has profaned the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified and has outraged the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay." And again, "The Lord will judge his people." It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But recall the former days when, after you were enlightened, you endured a hard struggle with sufferings, sometimes being publicly exposed to reproach and affliction, and sometimes being partners with those so treated. For you had compassion on those in prison, and you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property, since you knew that you yourselves had a better possession and an abiding one. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. For yet a little while, and the coming one will come, and will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls. Psalm 109. Help me, O Lord my God, to the choir master, a psalm of David. Be not silent, O God of my praise, for wicked and deceitful mouths are opened against me, speaking against me with lying tongues. They encircle me with words of hate and attack me without cause. In return for my love, they accuse me, but I give myself to prayer. So they reward me evil for good and hatred for my love. Appoint a wicked man against him. Let an accuser stand at his right hand. When he is tried, let him come forth guilty. Let his prayer be counted as sin. May his days be few. May another take his office. May his children be fatherless and his wife a widow. May his children wander about and beg, seeking food far from the ruins they inhabit. May the creditor seize all that he has. May strangers plunder the fruits of his toil. Let there be none to extend kindness to him, nor any to pity his fatherless children. May his posterity be cut off. May his name be blotted out in the second generation. May the iniquity of his fathers be remembered before the Lord, and let not the sin of his mother be blotted out. Let them be before the Lord continually, that he may cut off the memory of them from the earth. For he did not remember to show kindness, but pursued the poor and needy, and the brokenhearted, to put them to death. He loved to curse. Let curses come upon him. He did not delight in blessing. May it be far from him. He clothed himself with cursing as his coat. May it soak into his body like water, like oil into his bones. May it be like a garment that he wraps around him, like a belt that he puts on every day. May this be the reward of my accusers from the Lord, of those who speak evil against my life. But you, O God, my Lord, deal on my behalf for your name's sake. Because your steadfast love is good, deliver me. For I am poor and needy, and my heart is stricken within me. I am gone like a shadow at evening. I am shaken off like a locust. My knees are weak through fasting. My body has become gaunt with no fat. I am an object of scorn to my accusers. When they see me, they wag their heads. Help me, O Lord my God. Save me according to your steadfast love. Let them know that this is your hand. You, O Lord, have done it. Let them curse, but you will bless. They arise and are put to shame, but your servant will be glad. May my accusers be clothed with dishonor. May they be wrapped in their own shame as in a cloak. With my mouth, I will give great thanks to the Lord. I will praise him in the midst of the throng, for he stands at the right hand of the needy one to save him from those who condemn his soul to death. Proverbs 27:13. Take a man's garment when he has put up security for a stranger, and hold it in pledge when he puts up security for an adulteress. Okay, so as we continue to move through Hebrews, I mean, we have to always remember this. Hebrews is written to Hebrews, and so it is completely Hebrew in its context. And the revelation of Jesus within this context is from a completely Hebrew perspective. And so as we're going through that, we're looking through a Hebrew lens at Jesus as being prophetically foretold through the Hebrew scriptures. And so as we continue forward today, we see the implications of all of this. And I quote, brothers, sisters, we get to boldly go into heaven's most holy place. And so as we've read in the Old Testament and as we've read in the book of Hebrews. This is like, this is where God dwells, the Holy of Holies. And so this is a place that was in the tabernacle. This is a place that was in the temple, a place that the high priest would go into once a year. So what's being said here is that we can boldly go into the most holy place, the Holy of Holies, because of the sacrifice, the sacrificial blood of Jesus. And so I continue to quote, by his death, Jesus opened new life, giving a way through that curtain into the most holy place. And since we have a great high priest who rules over all of God's house, let's go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. That's the implications. And so for a Hebrew mindset, that is going where only the high priest can go. That is going where nobody can go, into the actual presence of God. The author of Hebrews is saying, but we can. The way is open. Let's go. We can go right into the presence of God. That's pretty controversial. And in the first century, like that's a pretty big mind shift. Even though it's foretold prophetically, that's a big deal. And so we can, so easily, being so far in the future and being mostly Gentile, we can take things like this for granted and just go, yeah, I agree. Because they're like foundational to the Christian faith, that we can have a personal relationship with God. However, the fact that we can have ongoing, like always on, never off relationship, continual fellowship with the Almighty God, the Most High God, creator of all things, seen and unseen. And we can have ongoing communion with God. That's a pretty big thing to take for granted. So in the Hebrew context, this is absolutely revolutionary. Like I said, the high priest went into the Holy of Holies once a year, into the presence of God on behalf of the people. They weren't able to go directly into the presence of God. They were not righteous. But according to this new covenant that's being laid out, believers are made fully righteous before God. And because of that, they can go directly into the presence of God. And not just like go into the presence of God, but come into the presence of God as sons and daughters of God through Jesus, who is now the high priest over God's house. This is a humongous paradigm shift that forces the early Hebrew believers in Jesus, and that's who this letter is written to pretty much be at odds with their culture just by default, because it flies in the face of their religious traditions. And so because of this, the faithful who were believing this were finding themselves under, like, they were finding themselves in the presence of the Most High God, but also experiencing unbelievable pressure from within their culture. And they were facing marginalization, and they were facing persecution. It still happens today. I mean, even in our Christian traditions, it still happens today. But this awareness that somebody, a person, can be forgiven and can be made righteous through Jesus, and because of that, can have intimate relationship with God personally, that's compelling enough to take the marginalization. And that's what the book of Hebrews is trying to compel people to do, to not walk away from what they have been, what has been revealed to them. And so Hebrews is very theological, but it's not like just, it wasn't written as a work of doctrine. It was written to remind Hebrew believers of the good news that there is a new covenant. It was foretold and it is inaugurated through Jesus, and to invite them to stay true, to endure rather than to hide or abandon their faith when they were facing pressure. The words of encouragement and endurance matter an awful lot when we have the context of what these early brothers and sisters were facing. But they become very relevant to our own lives when we consider our own struggles and what we are facing. Most of it we're bringing upon ourselves, but what we're facing. As with the early Hebrew believers, we have to grow in faith and endurance so that we can finish well this life that has been given to us and live it with honor and gratitude for this great high priest who presides over God's household, the Savior that we believe in, Jesus our Lord, who gives us direct access to the very presence in the Holy of Holies to our Heavenly Father. And so, Father, we come into your presence. The fact that we can say, Father, and the fact that you hear us right now and that we are in your presence is what was just laid out in the book of Hebrews. But we take for granted was not a small thing, and this is not a small thing, to be able to come with a grateful heart into your presence, believing that you know who we are because we are your children, and that you love us like a father. That is unspeakably good news. That is why this is the good news, that this veil has been torn, and we can come into your presence and be known and be seen, that we can be in an intimate relationship with you. We take that for granted. We don't understand the magnitude of what we're talking about so often, and that is borne out in our thoughts and our words and our deeds. Because when this settles in, the honor of it, it humbles us beyond description, as it should. And so, Father, we love you. We thank you for giving us a way to be in your presence, and that you love us, and that your heart is good towards us, and that you cannot stand to see us come to these forks in the roads and just choose the path of destruction, and that you continue to invite us back on a narrow path that leads to life. So Holy Spirit, come and show us the narrow path that leads to life. And we acknowledge that that means a lot of these destructive things have to go. They do not go on this path. And that we indeed have to learn to endure. Teach us how to do that. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com is home base. That is the website. The Daily Audio Bible, the Daily Audio Bible app, is also available at the app store that works with your device. So either one of those, the app does a lot more, but either one of those is home base. So check it out. Check out the different sections. The community section in particular is really important to be familiar with as we take the journey. It has the links to the different social media channels that we participate in, and that can be important as we just send encouragements and announcements. But it is also the home of the prayer wall. And that has nothing to do with social media or anything like that. It's just kind of there, sitting in the community section. And it's just there for we taking this journey around the global campfire, moving forward day by day, step by step, keeping each other warm, relaxing together, but creating a safe space That's kind of, that's, I guess that's the thing of it. We're all over the world. We couldn't be more diverse than we are. And yet somehow we're coming together and making it safe. And the scriptures are making that happen because we're agreeing on a point of truth. Even though, man, we can, you know, trying to understand and interpret that is the wrestling of life spiritually. We're agreeing on the words, like, we're here, and this is what's happening, and it's speaking for itself. We're letting it hit, and we're letting it hit us. And we're letting it give us things to think about, and it's bringing up whatever it brings up in us. And we're not really, you know, we're not being manipulated in it. It's just happening how it happens. The Bible speaks for itself, ironically. But it does create community around a rhythm. And we show up for each other every day. And we're kind of in this place wherever the Bible is taking us together. But life is happening. And the bottom falls out. Or we hit a wall. Or we end up in a ditch. Or we actually summit the mountain we were climbing for so long. And we get to see that view. And reap the rewards of it. It's just all over the place. A whole year brings a whole lot. So there's just this place, pretty lo-fi. It's just the prayer wall. Whatever, like highs or lows. Sometimes the deepest valley, it's encouraging to read other people's stories. It's encouraging to be encouraged, for sure, by somebody who knows, who understands. And it's very encouraging to be prayed for either way. So there you go. That's the prayer wall. And that's in the community section. So be familiar with that, whether you're using the web or the app. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, with us showing up for each other around the global campfire every day and letting the Bible speak fresh, if that matters, thank you deeply, humbly, gratefully for your partnership. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. The mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That's the little red button up at the top. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Good morning, everyone. It's Susan from Canada, Godzilla Flower Calling. Heather, I want to thank you for your kind words, and I'm sorry about your father. I know caregiving is, I think, one of the most emotionally draining and physical hardships that a person can endure. But once, I find that once it's the caregiving has ended and you're sort of set free, that you're never sorry. You're never sorry for all the difficulties, the hard times. You're always thankful to the Lord for giving you the strength to get through it. And I'm sure you feel the same way about your father. And all of you who are caregivers, you know, just remember that what you're going through, how we say it comes to pass, right? And somehow we get through it by the strength of the Lord and march on. I'm quite a bit behind to the community prayer. So forgive me if I'm praying for those who are for quite some time ago. But Lord God, I just pray that you'd be with each and every one of us on this family chat line. And that you would just bless us mightily with your righteous right hand. Hold us up with your strength and be our wisdom and our guide in all we think, say, and do. God bless you all.
Hello, my DAB family. This is Jamie in New Jersey, standing on the Word of God. I humbly ask you to please pray with me. Dear Father in Heaven, thank you for your word that assures us, He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, He who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Thank you that you are always with us. Help us to remember that because you are here, we can turn all our worries over to you, and to trust that you will work all things out for our good and your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for praying along with me, my brothers and sisters. I love each and every one of you. Have a good night.
Hello, DAB family. It is JK from Vancouver. Week 5 of praying for businesses, all the DAB members who run businesses, those who run nonprofits and charities. I start by thanking God. I come with thanksgiving and thanking God for the ability He has given us and the opportunity He has given us to serve Him in this way. And I pray for His forgiveness in ways that we have failed. And I pray for His grace in showing us forward, a way forward. I pray for any nonprofits or charities that any of us runs, that those big donations will come in, that God will open a door and show someone some way of supporting the good work. For all of us who run businesses, that the sales in December and the holiday season will help us recover from the losses we have faced this year, and that He'll open a way for us to get all the funding that we need, the loan that we need, or maybe not a loan, actually pay off the loans that we have, but send that one big or two or three or five clients that will help us recover. Send the right employees for those of us who are struggling with employees. Send the right people. Give us wisdom to make the right decisions and to always remain in honor of God and for His glory. So I pray this for all of us who run businesses, who run nonprofits, who run charities, who are doing all this work in honor of God. I pray that He will continue to guide us and provide us more. So I will call again next week, which will be week 6 of fasting and praying for businesses of DAB. Thank you so much, family. Have a good day.
Good morning, Daily Audio Bible family. This is Drenched in His Mercy, and I'm calling with a praise report. I am out of the hospital. I am breathing with no supplementary oxygen. I will have to stay in the Aurora area for the next couple of months because I have a lot of appointments. I am experiencing some nausea and heartburn, and I think that's due to the meds that they're giving me, but hopefully either my body will adjust or they'll adjust the meds pretty soon. This morning, there is some pain around my incision site, but I think that's because I coughed last night, and that should settle down soon. I could use your continued prayers for healing and that I won't experience rejection. I love you guys. You, because of your prayers, this has been an amazing experience.